Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Well, hello, give me a cheer if you like Doctor Who! Woo! Give me a cheer if you like Silver Nemesis! Less people. That is telling for this evening. How are we doing, lads?
Well.
Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fair to middling.
Good, okay. It's going to be fun. Yeah? Amazing. Right, that wasn't the intro to the podcast. As you may know, the podcast starts differently. So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend that we never came on, and we're going to do a little with someone, some clever little person. I was going to say some clever little dick, and I didn't then.
No, it was a dick though.
Yeah. That's a good prep for how censored I'm going to be today. Has put together a little mega mix for us. So to welcome everyone in, you're going to get a little some little snatches of previous episodes, and then we're going to start the thing proper. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Here we go.
Ushering his companions inside the TARDIS, the Doctor followed them in and closed the door firmly behind him. There was a wheezing, groaning sound. The wheezing, groaning sound. The wheezing, groaning sound. The wheezing, groaning sound. The wheezing, groaning sound.
Let me regale you of a tale of a gentleman in a blue box.
We start in media res. I don't know what that means.
This is not available in the shop.
Ghastly grin.
Evil, leave us into dawn of time.
Doris, take the butty out for a walk.
It's all right, Prof.
Cosmo, waiting for K9 to score them. Daganja.
Oh, hello.
I went for a toilet and the juice of apple came out of my drained snake.
I can see it still in my mind's
eye. Sleeping bag full of cake.
What is the solution?
I've got the key to Broadmoor.
I was found in the loft with knickers askew and my dignity all over the shop.
Doris! Akino!
Stick that on your TikTok.
Stretch him out of this life!
The TARDIS has got boobs!
Pickings!
Book of fannies.
Nonsense!
You knobby Nelson.
Graphic detail!
Are you doing that?
This week, genital health.
You can't go to bed with all your clothes on.
Debbie does Davros.
Beautiful day.
Oh, that's where my gerbil went.
The fannies are destroying the planet!
He wants to come into the water with us.
Tom has been smoking.
I got up off the poofy and me love eggs fell out.
I felt my titties tickle.
Why is the Doctor never around when you want him?
Press 4 and say you'll connect them to Julia.
Local pervert.
Baby. I'd like to give my ring to someone.
Go enjoy your nosh.
What's the charge? Eating a meal? A second Chinese meal?
Good night, Teddo.
How does a jumble sale work?
E equals MC squared, just as I thought.
Glenn Bender.
Dancing his nut off.
Release the cock and balls.
Can you show me that man who was having sex with a chicken when a rock fell on him?
What a crazy adventure.
Oh, I am dead.
A well-deserved pearl necklace.
This is a warning.
I am also a Time Lord.
Wouldn't catch Terry on the order. Planet B-Jams.
The will of the Croton.
Well, now we'll be showing you how to make a pervert out of some milk buckle tops.
Got the rabies.
Hello there.
Oh, the urges.
A trap tea set.
Big jumping gobstopper.
One has one's twinges.
We will be back sexing you.
All the best. Bye, B-Jams.
He's a right tart.
Hello, Talos.
The right hootin'.
Hang on, is this felching rocks?
Space! Space! Space!
Space!
Place.
A wheezing, groaning sound!
Hooray!
Live from the London Podcast Festival here in the St. Pancras Room at King's Place, a venue in which I once performed a pre-recorded monologue from the viewpoint of a parasitic alien life form attached to my head, whose mission was to have sex and or murder Giles Brandreth. The alien was a bath sponge sellotaped to my head. The online sketch was greeted with abject silence for 6 minutes. We present a wheezing groaning sound.
Yay!
The only Doctor Who podcast to be performed by three men who have devoted their lives to a science fiction show known only to my Slovak partner as Mr. No. I am Paul Littred, and joining me as ever are my best friends and my best buds, and I love them the bits. They're my companions as ever. They are Mr. Tom Neenan and Mr. John Rain.
Welcome, everyone.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
And this evening, we will open up and examine the 25th anniversary cadaver that is Silver Nemesis, and we will also celebrate in a very small way an anniversary of our own.
Ooh.
Because this is our 50th episode, boys.
It is.
So hurrah to that.
Hooray. Yeah.
Says I.
50 now, listen, years old.
Now listen, whatever we say tonight, you may not agree with. Please do not be upset if you do not agree with some of our decisions. The one thing that we do know, chaps, is you never really want to upset a Whovian, do you?
That is very true.
Not really. I mean, it's not that they're going to actually hurt you physically, but they are the sort of people that will break into your house in the dead of night and rearrange your Target novels in guilt order. Anyway, so very soon we will press on with the show. And also, I have to say, later on, we will be announcing the results of the competition.
Ooh.
Where one of you lucky people will get the chance to walk away But let's get on with the show.
Please.
So, shall I get on with what was going on television, or is there anything else to do?
No, I think that sounds very good. I think
Okay, so normally you remind me.
Yeah,
so do that. What?
What was that?
I don't know.
Did you hear that?
No.
No. Okay, sorry. Anyway.
I presume it's a critic.
Yeah. What is... Okay.
Oh. You're right, Tom.
Yeah. What?
What?
Sorry.
I don't like this.
No.
That is a wheezing, groaning sound from the Sixth Doctor. And this is the Sixth Doctor. It is...
Holy fuck!
Friend, hello. Just in case you don't recognise me as I am now.
Oh.
So, the wheezing, groaning sound. I wonder what that relates to. Could it possibly be... the noise the TARDIS makes as it goes and comes about the Doctor's business. Well, there you are. Paul, Tom and John, you are approaching your 50th episode, or have just completed your 50th episode, of a wheezing, groaning sound podcast. I had a little listen to it.
Uh-oh.
I have to say, I was worried about the person that you were torturing in the background.
Fair enough.
There was somebody in a great deal of pain. I don't know whether it's one of you or whether you torture somebody while you're recording your programme. But in between the screams of agony, there were some interesting and a little shocking in cases, gobbets of information and opinion, which was delightful. But I'm delighted to hear that you like the Sixth Doctor, at least you say you do, in order to get me to record this for you. Whether you do or not is a different matter. Thank you for watching Doctor Who. Thank you for being, as you say to your friend Bert, who is the generous donor of my time to you, John, Paul and Tom. Bert thinks you've got a good podcast. So I'm sure you've got a good podcast. And you've done 50 of them. So your stayers, I'll give you that. Congratulations. Have a good 51st, 52nd. And keep watching Doctor Who, because it only gets better. I do hope you listen to Big Finish as well. Keep casting your pods to the swine, and I hope they all enjoy them. And do stop torturing that poor person in the background. I do feel sorry for him. Well done. Bye.
Colin Baker!
Colin Baker, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, earlier today when we all met, Tom said, oh, I'm going to do a little thing just before you do what was on telly that day, but didn't tell John and I.
No.
So that is genuine.
Wow.
See, part of me was like, oh, my God, what a generous thing to do. Then I saw Cameo and went,
yeah.
You paid him.
They paid him.
In gravy.
Still, he was a fan of Bert, though. So
he loves Bert. I would say I edited that down because true Colin Baker style, he gave way more than was ever required. Yeah. He gave up his time like no one else. And God bless him.
Wow. Did he begin with my first is in C, but my second is in who? Oh, God, this is going to go on forever.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, anyway. Oh, my God. No, that was going to happen.
No, thank you, Tom.
My absolute pleasure. No, thank Bert.
Thank you, Bert and Tom. Yeah.
Bert Kwok, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. So we're going to... I've done the intro. Normally, you need to now say... Because obviously, this will be edited and be tight as fuck.
Of course.
But at the moment, it's shambolic and joyous.
I am a top editor, yeah.
But Paul... What else was on television the day, the hallowed day, that a Silver Nemesis first appeared on our televisions? And was that the cover of Radio Times that week?
Good Lord, well, let me tell you. By the way, boys, love the show.
Thank you.
Well, Silver Nemesis appeared on our screens on Wednesday the 23rd of November 1988 at 9:35 of the PM. Now, if you began your televisual joy viewing, you started off 6 AM with C-Fax. Yeah! A little bit later on, you had a programme called Jill Lamb. I've never heard of this. Jill Lamb.
No?
It's just called Jill Lamb. The blurb says, this week, Jill gets lost in a Turkish bath.
Oh. Boiled lamb.
Does she want to be found? Sheep. No, she does not. So, Jill Lamb, my next television treat is at 10:25. I'm presuming that Jill Lamb 6:40... didn't last until 10:25. Lost
How
in a
lost
Turkish
was
bath.
She?
Yeah, anyway. So at 10:25 was Playbus.
Playbus.
Yeah. But where does it go?
Yeah, guys, it's the Dot Stop.
Yeah. Oh, fuck Dot. No one liked Dot.
Oh,
no.
John, you're going to hate this because Dot is dotty about dots and stops.
I couldn't give a fuck. Why bird or nothing?
Perhaps today you should give a fuck because she finds a number 6 domino and loses her shit.
Well, I probably watched
I made that up.
Patch Stop was the worst stop, though, right? That was when you turned over at the Patch Stop.
What was Patch Stop? Is that just quit smoking?
Yeah.
It was the methylene clinic.
Yeah. It's just really grim. Really grim episode of Playbus.
I don't remember any of this.
Peggy Patch from the Patch Stop. Nope.
No.
Moving on.
All right. Anyway, 10:50 of the AM was the Bunyip.
What?
Yeah, a lot of people are smiling.
Is that a Welsh thing?
I mean, obviously they're screaming and crying, but they're smiling through that. Mm. It says the Bunyip, and it just says this. It's the hottest day of the year, and the sun is feeling queer.
Fair enough.
Is he good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Anything to comment on
that? Is it the
that?
Same sun from the Teletubbies?
Okie dokie. 10:55 was 5 to 11. This is amazing. 5 to 11. Patricia Routledge... who I happened to be talking about earlier with some friends of this podcast.
Hello.
Patricia Routledge reads out viewers' poetry. Can you imagine that terror?
I mean, in this day and age, that is a blog.
But reading out viewers' poetry.
No, that's not a telly programme.
I was in Oxford having a punt. We cannot. We can't.
Although if it started, there once was a man from Nantucket. She might be who lived with Hyacinth Bucket.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's written by Betty Boothroyd, of course.
Yes.
I actually won a poetry. I won the National Devon Poetry Competition at the age of 10.
Oh, hello.
For a it's fine. For for a poem called A Day at the Fair. And I won a £20 W.H. Smith book token.
Wow. What did you spend it on?
I don't remember much of the poem, but I only remember this. I think this is rather clever. Because in the poem, it's Day at the Fair. I wrote, I'm on the dodgems going fast.
I'm playing Space Invaders. Oh, I've lost Blast. But Blast as in, oh no, but Blast as in Space. I thought that
double
was
meaning.
Brilliant.
We're unpacking.
Yeah, there you go.
You had to be there.
Dare, dare. Moving on after the Bunyip and 5 to 11 was Daytime Live. Oh, God. Jimmy Savile goes mining in South Yorkshire.
No!
Hey, it was what was on.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge. No, actually, no, we are here to judge, yeah, aren't yeah. we? That's the one thing we're here for.
I think society has done that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was Jimmy Savile looks for miners in South Yorkshire, that would have been even worse. Anyway,
Depends how it's spelled.
Wow.
Actually, do Granny. It's Wheezing Granny. 3 p.m. I've Got a Secret with Tom O'Connor. Please don't get Jimmy Savile on that show.
That's more to do with Jimmy Savile, isn't it?
With Jan Leeming, Henry Kelly and Mike Reid.
Oh!
Whoa.
Jimmy Savile's Got a Secret.
3:30 p.m. It's cartoon time.
Mm.
Now, this is the cartoon.
Uh-oh.
A transistorized shark... Is that a word?
Transistoroid? You're right. Can you smell burning toast?
A transistoroid shark gets the hiccups.
Oh,
that lasted for 15 fucking minutes.
Oh, God.
Quite harrowing, I'd imagine.
Mm. I don't... Well, anyway. 10 to 4, 2 by 2. Jenny Powell. Yes. Yep. She meets some caterpillars who are addicted to glue.
That was the name of their gang.
That sounds more like Def Jam to me, but there you go.
I'd meet Jenny Powell if I was addicted to glue. Yeah.
Derek Griffiths sings about a salad.
Oh. Good for him.
Yeah, you fucker.
Rocket Man.
You're ruining me burger.
Yeah. Anyway, after that was Lassie. Lassie, everyone. Hey. This is obviously must have been a classic episode. Lassie acts as a chaperone to a seagull. How does a dog act as a chaperone to a seagull? What's the seagull's opus mirandi? What's the seagull trying to do?
It's following the trawler in case it...
Shit on chips. Somewhere.
Steal kids' chips. Yeah.
Steal kids' chips.
Sorry, is it something about stealing kids' chips?
Jangle, steal kids' chips.
No.
Hang on, no.
Better than that.
Anyway, there was something on at 5:10 just after Lassie called The Children of Green Gnome.
I remember that.
Ah, yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What happened in it?
Children, they had a green no.
They had a green
no. It was a pre-news round. No, after news round.
Pre-tensile tail. What was it?
It was about, if everyone remembers, it was about like a concrete statue goblin thing.
Mm. Right.
And that's all I remember.
It's confusing because green means go, but they're saying no, which means stop.
Yeah.
I can smell burnt toast.
Oh, so you're having the stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
This is a fake arm.
Anyway, the write-up blurb for The Children of Green Know is we meet some other children at last. That's the end of that. And then at 9 of your 35 was Doctor Who's Silver Nemesis.
Sorry, what?
What, 9:35?
Sorry, 7:35.
Right.
7:35.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yeah.
After the watershed.
What I made is a rookie mistake of being stupid. Anyway, it's 7:35, Doctor Who's Silver Nemesis. There is a blurb, Tom. A group of neo-Nazis are in South Africa seeking a statue.
Yeah.
As is a shuttle full of Cybermen and a mysterious lady from the 17th century. So that's all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
And after that, a bit later, 9:30 was The Visit.
Ooh.
A documentary.
Oh, is this the second part of the poor boy with the facial disfigurement?
No.
Oh.
No. Even more upsetting.
Okay. Oh, no.
The Visit, a documentary. Katie... A lively four-year-old is a prisoner. For life!
What did she do?
At least it's not for Christmas.
I think I did look that up and went, that's horrible. She's obviously not a career criminal.
Okay.
No.
Because she's four.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a prisoner for life in the fact that she's in a wheelchair and she can't move.
Well, that feels quite aggressive.
And that's really, that just brings the whole room down, doesn't
it? Yeah, come on, guys.
But could she do any tricks?
No. Meanwhile,
on
BBC Two,
on telly then, is it really?
BBC Two was Daytime on Two, a series of programmes aimed at teenagers only.
Mm.
So don't watch them, Grandad and Grandma. And they had a selection of programmes. This is just what it says verbatim: a policeman astonishes a school. Cosmo and Dibs write a poem for their dentist.
Cosmo!
Dibs!
Cosmo!
Dibs!
Any jokes you want to do?
That's it. It's reference humour.
Just the impression.
Yeah.
We are Michael McIntyre.
After that was science. Sound? How loud is loud? Can you sing underwater? What do our voices look like? What do our voices look like?
This is
like?
That man again doing the listings. He's having a stroke.
Yeah, yeah. Why can't yeah. I see her again?
What do our voices look like as they cradle him to the floor and call an ambulance?
Go to a policeman. He's like, well, I don't know what he looked like, but I can tell you what he sounded like. Well, I'll draw that. What did he sound like? It's just
what
bizarre.
What colour of smells?
What is love? After that was a programme just called What is Dinner? What is it?
That again is a telegram that meant to go to his wife.
Okay.
Send it up at the Radio Times and got commissioned. Imagine that these days.
Later on Daytime 2 was another programme called The Third World. Trick or treat. What does that mean?
No idea.
I'm starving. Trick.
Michael Burke presents.
And then there was another programme that was just called Four Friends from Tiverton Go to the Cinema.
What?
Now, it's 1988, so I was thinking Die Hard or A Fish Called Wanda. As the films they go
as
see.
The film, not the people
yeah.
going.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, just after that, 4 p.m. was Catchword, a quiz.
Ooh,
and it says
this in the
Radio Times, please do not write in or ring the BBC for the answer to the jingle clue. The answer is in the programme. Beautiful. I love the way the radio sounds.
Oh, my God,
like
that is so powerful.
Don't
so
watch the show if you don't want to, but shut up. I love all that. So condescending. A little bit later on, 5 p.m, was the perfect pickle programme.
Yay!
Now becoming
what
a friend of the show.
What episode?
A friend of the show. It's episode 3.
Fuck, we haven't got to the cliffhanger yet.
I know. Yeah. Episode 3. David Maybe looks at the pickle...
David Maybe.
David Maybe.
What a christening that is.
He might be fictional.
What's his
David
name?
David might
David
be fictional.
David Maybe. Yeah, but what's his name? David Maybe. Have you settled on his name yet? David
Maybe.
Maybe
we have.
Could you be more sure about his name? David Maybe.
David Maybe looks at pickled treasures that lie in the shed at the bottom of Mr. Grizzy's garden.
Ooh.
I don't want to look at those
no,
pickled
that's,
treasures.
No, that's something that locks from the inside.
It's Nazi regalia.
Oh, yeah.
Or bones. Yeah. Anyway, after that...
Hitler's skull!
Yeah, Hitler's...
Sorry, I've always wanted to say that in a public forum.
I've got two gherkins poking out of Hitler's skull.
It looks like he's watching a 3D movie.
Looks like he's seen boobs in a cartoon.
Call me old-fashioned, it's how I like to serve pickles. Out of a skull of a dictator. Anyway, I got some Piccadilly and Pol Pot. Anyway, a little bit after that...
Pol Potpourri.
What would that smell like?
Khmer Rouge.
Khmer Rouge.
Khmer Rouge always sounds like a lipstick.
It does. Yeah. Very impressive.
Why are you
lipstick.
Tonight, Bert? Khmer Rouge. Actually, Bert wouldn't wear that. It would be like, there you go. A little bit later on, 10 to 8, was Under Sail, which is a documentary about sailing, and it's narrated perfectly.
A fucking documentary about sailing.
Yeah, but it's narrated by a guy called Tom Salmon.
Okay,
oh,
fair enough.
Which is amazing.
Nominative determinism, yep.
But again, Radio Times telling you off. This it just says, the film portrays only two aspects of sailing only. Just two. If you're expecting three, go to Channel 4, you bloody... You
I want to know that knot.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me
yeah.
the knot information.
And at 10 past 8 was Antenna. Issues from science today. Tonight, what makes you sexy? It's the kind of science I can get involved in.
Who would enjoy that show?
Mm. Who was presenting it? Was it Heinz Wolf?
With his Norbert? It doesn't say. It was Heinz Wolf. Because it's sexy.
It was David
and just
possibly.
Because this is our 50th episode, what was on... 7:35 when Doctor Who was on ITV.
Oh!
Can you believe this sort of magic that we're conjuring?
You've gone to the TV Times. I don't know if I can respect you for this.
Well, I'm afraid. Listen, it's just for the 50th. It's mm-hmm. just for
all
the
right.
50th. I
all
just
right.
thought,
all right.
mix things in a spin. What was on at that particular time when Doctor Who was on?
Yeah.
It was Shelley. The sitcom Shelley, yes. The TV Times genuinely has this write-up for it. A sitcom about a sardonic, perpetually unemployed, anti-establishment layabout. Tonight's episode, The Big S. Shelley is depressed.
Sorry, they haven't mentioned that he was a fuck machine. Because he had
no mentions
a different
of fuck
woman
machine.
Every week. He was like James Bond.
No mentions of fuck machinery. And that was your television delights on BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV.
Woo! Woo! But why would you watch any of that when you could be watching...
For 25 years now, the Doctor has been shuttling through space and time.
Ah, the Doctor's not getting through to them.
The Time Lord returning to Earth to begin a brand new adventure, Silver Nemesis.
I give you the fourth one. What's happening, my lady?
We are leaving, Richard. Destiny beckons.
This may qualify as the worst miscalculation since life crawled out of the seas and the sand.
Doctor Who, a legend in his own time. Wednesday at 7:35 on BBC One.
Whoa! I can't wait for that.
I can't fucking wait to watch this.
A wizard groaning sound.
Lovely, lovely, brand.
Lovely stuff.
Do we officially begin in media res in this one?
Roger, listen carefully. There's two bumper episodes coming out, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's eight more, Roger. Eight of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. Two brand new episodes and a whole new series, wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Go for it.
No, but do we? I want to be...
Definitely not. It's a very slow start, but okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we begin with the opening credits, obviously, McCoy opening credits, which actually to me looked like a sort of something a ZX Spectrum would offer as evidence if it was involved in a litigation case against Tron.
400 hours to render.
Look at that. The best logo, question mark? Definitely.
No. How dare you, sir? And then we get Silver Nemesis written by Kevin Clark. Now, immediately, I just saw it as Roy Clark.
Yeah!
So I'm immediately thinking it's the adventures of an aged Time Lord.
Roy Clark, funnily enough, you should say that. I remember reading an early draft of Open All Hours
where
Grenville comes out in the morning and tries to shoot a parrot with a bow and arrow.
Cheers to the Felderike.
It's just if it was Roy Clark, it's just Doctor Who trying to race down hollowed out Daleks.
He's trying to have sex with the Rani while she's sleeping in a fucking TARDIS.
Oh boy.
Compo using the sonic screwdriver to straighten up Nora Batty's stockings.
Oh, much better episode.
There you go. Anyway, let's get on with the episode. We open in La Ghastly Villa, because it's South America, of course. Yeah. And we see a well-dressed Nazi yuppie. Because that's what he is. Mm. And he's discovering landing coordinates on his Commodore 64, or should we say Commandant.
Also, we should
64.
Say he's not a Nazi. He's alt-right.
Okay. He's just misunderstood.
I'm alt-right. could you get away with that? I'm alt-right. Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe yeah. You are. I'm
copywriting
it. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I think Kenny Loggins wrote a song about it.
Now,
I'm alt-right. Don't know, you're worried about me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, as and he looks a bit like Falco, but we'll address that later.
Yeah.
He's getting on with that. Meanwhile, his boss, Herr Nazi, is shooting parrots.
He's trying to. He sees a lovely parrot and he thinks,
I must kill it for
the hero. I'm going to murder that parrot.
Yeah.
Because he's in South America, but we only know he's in South America because he's in this villa, but there's a mountain painted on the side. And he sees a parrot and he thinks, we're in Elstree, that parrot should be. I must murder parrot.
Yeah. Like, fuck you, Mr.
Before
Cadbury.
It starts talking German and giving our position away.
So is he doing a mercy killing because he realises that the parrot has got nowhere to get proper purchase because it's a two-dimensional painting?
It's
a poor parrot will never be able to breed properly within society. I will kill it.
That was John Parrot who went on to be in Big Break.
Kill as many parrots as you can.
Anyway, what I like is after I only refer to him as Herr Nazi.
Fair enough.
I don't know what his name is.
From now on, that is his name.
Yeah, Herr Nazi. So he shoots a parrot, and we immediately cut to 1638, and we see a woman immediately killing a pigeon.
This is like someone driving on the motorway and then just pumping it in reverse. You're like, hang on. I was just getting my bearings.
Yeah.
Now we're in 1638.
Mm. My question is this the through line for the whole thing? Like, is bird death? Because you start with parrot death.
Yep.
A miss, grantedly.
Yeah.
Pigeon death, a miss. But we know that the pigeon becomes very important later. Mm. I mean, I'm just expecting it now cuts to the doctor. He's on Orkney Island, 3010, drop-kicking puffins off. What is it with bird death in this?
They're obsessed, aren't they? It's a motif.
She does.
She does.
I often answer things with she does.
She does. She kills birds, doesn't she?
How are you? She does.
Yeah. Who's firing the arrows at the pigeons?
She does.
Yeah, thought so.
So there you go. So we've had parrot almost death, pigeon almost death. It just, what's going on? Anyway, she flounces indoors to show off her collection of arrows to Richard.
Now, I'm going to say this now.
John, anything you'd like to say about
Well,
Richard?
We're all a big fan in this room of Blood Axe, right?
Yeah.
Is Richard related to him? Because Richard's a bit like, ooh, you've picked up something from the ground. She's like, yeah, that's fine. That's just what we do. But as it progresses, I just think we've got a direct descendant of Blood Axe.
We do.
Right here.
These birds I picked up, that once they were ticking, but now the ticking has stopped. What's going on? They're dead, Blood Axe.
Yeah.
That is the...
Yeah. I think we've got, we'll work more into this, don't worry.
There's more to come.
I've got a shitload of Blood Axe stuff.
What, you've written Blood Axe stuff?
Yeah. We will get round to that.
Just delete this.
Okay. Anyway, she flounces indoors to show off her collection of arrows.
What the fuck?
Some of them poison-tipped, some of them silver-tipped, well, some of them are gold-tipped. But she's waiting for a potion to be made, isn't she?
Who by?
Well, by part-time Nostradamus.
Well, she's got fucking granddad from Only Fools and Horses.
Part-time Nostradamus.
Painful. He's like, oh, wait till you see this. Yeah. She's like, what? And he's like, stuff's going to happen. Can we get Uncle Albert in?
Yeah. When I was in the war.
When I was in the Tudor War.
Yeah. Anyway, we now immediately cut back to 1988. South America.
Mm. Hello.
Yes. And we now see Herr Nazi, who's been trying to kill parrots. Now he's addressing his Fourth Reich soldiers, who basically look a little bit like Kraftwerk if they all went paintballing. Because there's about four of them, isn't there?
Yeah. It looks like they've got one segment of the crystal maze and forced them into a room and said, crystal no more, Fourth Reich.
And because part-time Falco with his Commandant 64 has gone, coordinates are locked. Herr Nazi goes, we are all going on the adventure. But you don't really know what it is.
And he's got a bone in a fish tank. Can we talk about
that? Yeah, he's got a bone in a fish tank, yeah. So, and my question is South Africa, that's a long journey to
America,
isn't
South
it?
America.
That's a long journey. That's a long journey. How do you get through customs with seven or eight Kraftwerk-based guys dressed as neo-Nazis with guns with a alien piece of tech bow fancy case. I'll give them that.
Yeah, it's a fancy case. I'm going to say something to you now, which I never thought I'd ever say.
Uh-oh.
It's pre-9/11.
Anyone could fly anywhere.
You could get on a plane with an Uzi, with a German accent.
Pre-9/11.
And yeah. Everyone will be like, well, it's pre-9/11. And then someone will say, what's pre-9/11? And you'll be like, it's pre-9/11. Yeah. Someone will say, that sounds like a kind of cheese.
Like, wait, no, wait and see.
Pre-9/11.
Yeah.
And they'll say, what is pre-9/11? And you'll say, you'll see.
Connie, this wine's beautiful. Pre-9/11.
What does that mean in this context?
Pre-9/11.
Hang on, there's a gun in it.
Pre-9/11! Okay, all right. Anyway, so, so Herr Nazi is talking to the Kraftwerk soldiers, yep, saying, we're going to go to England to have a jolly old time. And he's got an assistant, the Herr Commandant, who looks a little bit like Falco. If Falco never did Rock Me Amadeus and somehow has got a sort of middle management job at a golf course, that looks like him. Yeah. Anyway, Rock so now we immediately Excel. Cut back to the comet, which is known as Nemesis, which... Is comets it? Are independent bits of rock.
Yeah.
But this has got rockets at the back.
Yeah. It's not a comet.
It's not a comet, is it?
It's a spaceship.
It's a ship. Mm. Yeah. It's a ship. We all know that. Anyway, we then cut back to 1638, where part-time Nostradamus informs Lady Peinfort that the comet will land in November 1988. Yes.
Impossible to work that out. Absolutely impossible for him to know anything about that.
Absolutely impossible for him to know. Yeah. But we now cut, finally, to the Doctor.
Oh, yeah, it's Doctor Who,
and it's open air
someone's
jazz.
Someone's just left me. It's like, I'm not going to talk about Doctor Who.
Open air jazz. Cleo Lane is scatting.
Johnny, what's his face, is playing his saxophone while looking
Johnny
at
Johnny H. Jazz. Ironic to be in a jazz band.
Courtney Pine's there.
I hate
Courtney
what Pine. I do. Well, don't be in Johnny H. Jazz.
Yeah.
Courtney anyway, Pine, of course I have. I work in IKEA.
The Doctor's like, God, I love jazz.
Yeah.
No, is it Ace who really likes it?
No.
No, she does. Like, she fucking gets the guy to sign a tape. You sign my tape, man.
Yeah, that's after. Because the Doctor goes like this. He goes, oh, I love jazz. Where's this come from? I wanted him to say to Ace, I said jazz mags.
I can't. McCoy wouldn't be the jazz mag doctor.
He fucking would. He's showing his ass.
Troughton. Yeah, but Troughton would be
Troughton the... does the pictures. McCoy reads them.
Oh, okay, well, that's a good through line.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
He's loving the jazz. And Ace is like, this is great. We should do this all the time. What? Go to Earth and watch a jazz band. You can go to, like, Alpha Centauri and watch some alien playing out of his
pop. No, I want to see Courtney Pine jamming specifically in a pub garden. Courtney Pine.
I don't want to go and watch, like, Johnny Lip Cymbals from 1930s Harlem. I want to go and look at Courtney Pine 1988.
Guys, we just had our 38th walk.
Yeah. A lot of people going, oh, I haven't actually watched Silver Nemesis. I'll be back in a second.
Anyway, they're listening to some jazz. Ace is really into it.
Yeah, and the Doctor's like, you like it's jazz? Rad, name five cool. fucking jazz albums. He's a real gatekeeper, that Silver.
Name me one jazz album.
Yeah.
Best of Jazz volume. All right, volume
I'll give
one.
You that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Best,
though.
I'd say.
It's no volume three, but what is? Mm. Anyway, so they're just watching jazz. But then...
Someone else has watched Attack of the Cybermen instead.
Another person
they're like,
leaving. Another person I must...
Yeah. Bye, jazz. Chris. To be fair, Chris messaged me earlier to say we're doing this... Him and... Oh, fuck, I'm derailing the whole episode.
Yeah.
But him and someone else are doing this thing where they're going into different...
Perfect. And they sat in the second row. That's ideal.
Oh, they're podcasts and ruining it. Oh, well, they're doing really well.
Yeah.
Basically, great. I hope he gets AIDS. Carry on.
Okay. Anyway, they're watching jazz. Yeah. Jazz. And then the Doctor's fob watch goes... Diddly beep, 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 beep. And the Doctor goes, oh, what could that be?
What is it?
And then he doesn't know because he says it's reminding him something to remember, but he's forgotten.
It's good, isn't it?
He literally says, it's 5 hours until it happens. And she goes, what? And he goes, I don't know. Fucking hell. Are you cooking a pan of cheese? What the fuck? Are you making a pancake?
We don't know.
No. We need more.
But immediately says, look, we need to go. And he's like, oh, square. And she goes, I'm going to get an autograph from...
Courtney Pine.
Yeah.
My favourite member of the Friends cast.
Yeah.
I'm going to get...
Are you doing friend jokes?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I had to cancel a gag in an Edinburgh Fringe show in 2007 because Friends did a gag that I'd already written.
Oh, no.
But I can't say, hey, Friends, fuck off. I wrote that gag.
Did you just come on stage and go, we were on a break? And then...
The one where Paul gets upset.
Yeah.
We just had to cut the gag.
And also, we didn't really want to be associated with Friends. But oh, we're kind of new and cool. Mm. We weren't. Anyway.
Where were we?
I've immediately lost where we were.
Courtney Pine signed her tape.
So the doctor goes, look, I had my little biddly boo on me fob watch. We need to go to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
On the way to the TARDIS, they get shot at.
By people wearing headphones.
Heavily.
Yeah, by two darts players wearing headphones. Yeah.
Two guys listening to Daft Punk.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, run. And what they decide to do is, the TARDIS is literally 4 yards from where they are. Don't go in there, no. The impenetrable TARDIS that nothing can hurt you. Jump in the river. They jump in the river.
Mr. Toad gives them a lift. Yeah.
The two guys shooting them don't shoot them in the river. They go... they're probably dead.
Yeah.
They've landed in water.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the way Sylvester falls in looks like he's had some sort of rectal prolapse. So they probably thought, well, he's really dead.
Dead 100%.
He didn't look well.
Would his prolapse slightly suck up a bit of ace? No. I don't want to make this weird. But
yeah,
if his anus sucked in water, could he have caught Ace's toe and
he's not human, Paul.
Toad hurt.
He's not human.
He's not human, yeah.
No. He's got two arses.
He's got 18 arses, isn't he?
18 arses.
As we've now established.
Yeah, it looks like a minigun from Predator.
Oh, man. Anyway, they swim around the river, and what I love about this bit, they crawl out the river, and you have this bit of incidental music that is so. And all they're doing is crawling out of a river. And
also, really unglamorous.
It's really
well,
mismatched music.
They've been dogging with voles.
What I love as well is clearly at some point someone has gone through this and gone, hang on. So she's just got her tape signed, right? So her tape's in her pocket.
Yes.
Then she's jumped in a river.
Yes.
But they're going to use the tape later. So we need to. So they dub in Ace going, home, my tape's all right. Sorted. Yeah. That. Yep. Plot hole filled.
I think you'll find, Tom, that the jazz tape turned into wet. Oh, fuck off. That was off the... Jesus.
You didn't write that down?
No. Literally, off the
you
top of my...
Down.
Off the top of my... self-harming list.
It's nice seeing... Can I just say, we haven't done a podcast in a room for well over, 16 months?
I write my notes.
It's nice seeing his notes on the queue.
They think that's weird.
I do think that's weird. It's
Why?
Like podcasting with Adrian Mole.
Imagine if the opening scene from Seven was the serial killer jotting down notes image of the Fendal.
To be fair, be like, if you look in the book from Seven, the first line he says is, Jodie is not my doctor. So.
I knew he was a wrong'un.
Don't do that. Because that just makes me funny.
I won't do that.
Anyway, so they spend like 40 seconds climbing out of a river.
Oh, it sounds graceful.
Going, bam, 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 bam.
But we do see
Sylv's
bum.
And all they're doing
bum.
Is climbing out a river wet.
Yeah.
Like, it's awful. And also, they've just been shot at, so you think, well, you want to get in the TARDIS. Fuck that. Sit on the riverbank. Sit on the riverbank. And Ace goes, gonna play me record, prof. Not record tape. And obviously, you just said, well, no, it's fucked.
Yeah, clearly.
And also, the doctor goes, yes, you can. But also, don't play it on any regular... boom machine. I presume I'm being very 2021.
It's over my
head. Boom box.
Yeah, I assume so.
Your boom box. Because the doctor's made her a stereo. Wow.
But it's got satellite dishes on it.
It's a piece of beauty, isn't it? That stereo.
Beautiful. Lovely.
It looks like something Captain Nemo would keep his sex tapes in. But there you go. Yeah. And not only does it play music, it's also really vital to the fucking plot of the show. Because the doctor goes, I don't know what's going on. And you're like, well, you really fucking should. You're the doctor. And he goes, and I can't quite remember. Anyway, I'll just go bibbidi boo, bibbidi bee.
Which planet is fucked?
What am I doing today? Yeah. He goes, there's something about Earth. Am I in the right place? I don't know. And then we get this hologram of Earth. And it's like, oh, yeah, right, I'm in the right place.
I mean, what other fucking planet is it? going to be, honestly. If it was like, it's Venus, he'd be like, oh, it's fine then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always going to be Earth.
30 yeah. seconds ago, they were being shot at by two blokes. They crawl out of a river soaking wet, don't go into the TARDIS, sit literally within gunshot and yeah. go, let's put on the fucking stereo and have a... utterly insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And even though I can't even read my notes, I'm so upset about what's going on. Oh, yeah. Oh, now it cuts back to 1638. Part-time Nostradamus is muttering about his flying machines and, oh, in the future it'd be lovely. He doesn't know that he's unwillingly going to be part... he's going to be sort of like a blood donor.
Yeah, yeah.
To complete a potion ritual. There we cut back. That's how I do that. To the Doctor and,
so it was written
and
in the
Ace
script.
Sat outside the TARDIS, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Ace wants to play a new tape. The Doctor says, actually, it's not a tape recorder. It's a fucking brilliant thing.
That's when they find out that when Courtney Pine signs tapes, he also wraps them in cellophane, which is super helpful.
The Doctor goes, oh, my God, we should be on Earth. And, well, yeah, you're here anyway. You're being shot at, you stupid prick. Why are you now going, I don't know why I'm here? You're being shot at. Well, let's sit outside the TARDIS where we can always be a target. So they do that. And then we cut back again. There's a lot of cutting.
There's a lot
of cutting. Back to 1638, and a ritual is afoot. Oh, yes. A circle of strange symbols. Ooh. Lady Painfort is up to no good.
She's
and the way that you can travel through time, apparently, you don't need a TARDIS. You need a dead pigeon, a cow's skull, and a swan's wing. which is, incidentally, a gourmet coffee you can get not far from this venue. So we now meet Lady Painfort, who's going, oh, I'm going to travel through time or something. I don't know. And she's got the lovely assistant, Richard, who drinks a goblet of blood and is all, I'm not happy about this at all. Very panicky, isn't he? Very panicky. But then they disappear in a vortex of magic and you just go, how have you fucking done that? Because it makes no sense.
No.
How do you do it? How did you do it? Theories?
Magic.
It's just some form of bland magic.
Okay.
That means they arrive screaming into a coffee shop, which means only one thing.
Well, the Doctor sort of tries to explain it later, like, Lady Pivot, she's evil. She dabbled in black magic and time. And you go, well, she put a circle of strange symbols and she put a cow's head, a swan's wing and a dead pigeon.
That's the finale for tonight,
I mean, if
by
you
the
want
way.
Me to fucking,
see if it works.
If you want me to meddle with time, I could do that if I could drop of a hat. I can meddle with time with that.
Yeah.
But she is a sorceress.
Is she?
What is she? She's a...
She also says she's got a vendetta against the Doctor, which is never addressed.
No.
No.
I hate him. I'm going to get revenge on him. Why?
He is mentioned later, though, isn't it? She knows who he is.
She knows
him. I know, but again, why?
She's seen him peeking in through when she's having a shower.
Yay.
But yeah, they arrive screaming into a National Trust cafe, which means they've probably seen the price of the sandwiches.
That's my favourite bit. Well, my second favourite bit. My first favourite bit is Lady Painfort waiting for a bus. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Just sat there waiting for a bus. But the second favourite is they appear in the same house that Lady Painfort was coming from to 1988, which is now a tea room. And they appear literally like, ah! And there's two old women having tea who go, bit annoying.
Probably social workers.
I ordered Darjeeling. I just love that. It's very British.
Yeah.
I don't want time travelling witches from the past. We've got scones coming.
We're waiting for our bill.
Yeah. Anyway, we now cut to the asteroid or comet heading, hurtling towards
but
the Earth.
But it's not a comet, it's a spaceship.
Well, yeah, but it's a comet, but it's got
boosters.
Yeah, it's got boosters. Glad you said boosters.
Thanks.
This is something else. Anyway, so now we get a lovely TARDIS materialisation.
Ooh. Is it?
Blimey. Do you know what? This whole episode, these three episodes are shite, but you get seven TARDIS materializations or dematerializations.
Some of them are just like going round the corner.
I am in wanking Doctor Who heaven for materializations.
But a couple of them are literally like going 100 yards.
I don't mind that. Anyway, so the TARDIS materialises underneath Winter Castle and there's a little bit to and fro with Ace. It's quite nice, but for some reason the Doctor pretends to be bitten by a stuffed bear.
Oh, yeah. And bit of business, isn't it?
Goes,
bit of business.
And Ace is going, really? Even at this stage, you're going to do that shit? Anyway, upstairs is Lady Painfort and her arrow is glowing. And she's very happy about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we cut.
She's watching Sean Bean.
I liked the glowing metal stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good effect, isn't it? Yeah,
it's very good.
The glowy thing. Is that like, I'm trying to think, was that like a neon tube that we'd use in like office light? How do they do that?
Has anyone seen the making of on the VHS?
Does anyone know? People do know, yeah. You got hands up. Yeah.
So you know how it was done.
Right. Good, good.
Yeah.
You don't need to give us a finger, just put the hand up.
Tom, is it a light?
It's a light, yeah. It's a light. Yeah. It was the it was the charisma radiating off John Nathan Turner that lit it up.
He was.
How did you do it? It was a light.
It was his Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
What's really lovely, just for sort of purists and slightly baffling, is Ace has somehow got a fez on. And you're like, oh.
Oh, hello. Because fezes are cool, aren't they?
Fezes are cool.
She's reacting to the death of Tommy Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the doctor reveals that the comet has been orbiting the Earth for 350 years. Not only has it been doing that, he threw it up there in the first place. And you're like,
why the fuck?
That pays off. It doesn't.
Why the fuck would you do that? You can go anywhere in time and space, but he chooses to put it in the, outside the very planet it can destroy.
Exactly. If it's such a threat, throw it in the sun.
And it comes
Don't
back.
Keep it going around the Earth like it's recycling.
Put it up Sil's arsehole.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway, now, cut to the Rozzers.
Oh, bloody hell.
They've turned up.
Because
this bloody great comet's fallen just outside of Windsor Castle, which somehow looks like an industrial estate.
Have we missed the bit where we see the Queen walking the corgis yet?
Just get in there.
All right, good.
Just get in there.
I didn't want to miss that. Which is what we call Series 4 of the Crown.
Yeah. So the Ross is like, what's this bloody comet doing? I arrest you for littering foreign objects
for
on arable land.
I'd love to see here, by the way, if Sylvan Ace... I call him Sylv, you know him as Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he goes to the Queen's bedroom like Michael Samuel and wanks in her ear, like apparently Michael Samuel did.
Unproven,
but heavily implied.
Yeah.
I'd love it if Sylv was like, I am a man from space. You've got a statue down there that's going to kill you. And the Queen's like, oh, very interesting.
How would you save me?
I'm just waiting for... The other woman to play me to turn up to take over. Imelda Staunton, where are you?
Nobody knows. To
but
this
yeah,
day.
I'd love that to be the twist that the doctor was Michael Samuel.
Yeah, well. So the Rosses turn up, they're like, what's going on here? Mm. I'm going to arrest something, but I don't know what. Meanwhile, cut back to 1638, because now the doctor's gone back to go, I need to find out what's going on.
Yep.
And they find part time Nostradamus dead.
Yeah.
Doctor reveals that the metal statue was built. This is where I get confused. Was the metal statue built by Lady Pank? But
we have no idea. Yeah. We have no idea.
I like the bit when he goes, what's over there? And he goes, something you really don't want to see. And he covers the script for Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Hey! And it's also his rider.
Yeah.
He does that. Anyway, so the Doctor sort of does some exposition, but you go, huh? Ooh. And you go, are we going with that? And they go, maybe, I don't know. We'll just see what happens in the next two episodes.
Yeah.
So a comet, because you'd already found out that Lady Penfort from part-time Nostradamus has said their comet will fall in 1988 and she then disappeared via black magic and swan's wings and God is what. Anyway, so the cut back to 1988, the Rosses are like, oh dear, you do space litter here on Queensland. We're going to arrest this criminal. And then some pipes come out of the earth and gas them. Now, I thought when I watched it...
Do they gas them or do they...
Well, they gas them, but I thought, is that the Cybermen?
It's not the Cybermen. I thought that. No,
it's
a
defence mechanism from the comet.
Yeah, which isn't a comet, as we've discussed, it's a spaceship.
And that's right. Why does she have that? Why does she gas people?
That was their police protocol.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, in case of police.
She wants to be released, doesn't she? So why gas the people?
I'll be honest, I'm not sure what the Nemesis wants.
No.
No.
I mean, sadly, tragically, we never find out.
No.
Anyway, I'm worried about time. So Lady Pointfort and Richard just watch them from afar.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cut back to 1638. The Doctor reveals to Ace that Lady Pointfort dabbled in black magic time travel, and that's why she got to where she is. And we don't question that. Because that's fine. And he also reveals that there are many aspects of this plot. that the metal of the bow and the arrow is called Validium.
Ooh.
Validium. Which is basically unobtainium, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking it.
Plot helpium.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Given opium. Anyway, come back to 1988.
Michael Gradium.
Yeah, probic vents. Private vents come up.
I've got a kitchen made of Michael Graham. Yeah.
Anyway, so the Rosses go, oh, we're no longer in this. Yay. And then we cut to the grounds of Windsor Castle. And I love this bit. The TARDIS appears. Beautiful materialization as several thousand tourists are entering Windsor Castle. The TARDIS appears 10 foot away from all of them.
Yep.
And none of them go, holy shit, what was that? None of them. I mean, it's right in front of them.
Mm.
They don't give a shit.
They've been to the Trocadero.
So the Doctor sort of slips in the back of the queue, then runs away, and then we get a lovely little moment. It's very funny. I mean, it doesn't really sort of pay off enough, but they see the Queen walking her course.
Yeah, yeah.
Which she did, obviously.
Yeah.
But do you not think they missed a trick? There should have been a little moment where you could chat with her. Like she's sort of going, like, naff off. Or just anything.
Yeah. What are you up to? She's like, I'm worried about my son. He's,
yeah.
He's this American chap he's hanging out with. He's very strange.
Yeah. Just something.
Yeah.
And then what I love is...
Sorry,
is,
I can't hear. I've got Michael Samuel in my ear.
What I love is that the Doctor goes, well, we have to... The only way we can stop whatever's going on is we need to talk to the Queen.
Yeah.
Now!
Well, he says, hey, we want the police and we want the army to listen to us. Who better to talk to than the Queen?
So he needs to go and talk to her.
Yeah.
But, of course, she's got security. They won't let him in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile... All of us have forgotten that this Nazi's involved.
Oh, yeah.
The Nazis
and they
are
turn up in a blue van. Now, this has been bothering me. How do they get from South America to Windsor Castle in time? So, I mean, they've got many routes. I mean, obviously, they could fly directly to Heathrow. I mean, they could fly to... But
yeah.
Nazi guards with guns and an alien tech bow. Mm. That's a customs nightmare, isn't it?
The bow, I think you're making too much of.
Did you pack that alien the tech bow yourself, sir?
The bow isn't the problem, it's the Uzis.
Yeah, but you the say Uzis the bow's not a problem. What, because it's in a fancy case? You kept saying it's in a fancy
Who can
case.
You hurt with a bow?
First thing customs are going to do, open up the fancy case.
You open it, there's a bow.
Did and you it's pack this that bow big, yourself,
and it looks
sir?
Like it belonged to, like... Liberace dressed as a Cupid. You're not worried about that. You're worried about the fucking camouflage and the Uzis.
I'm so obsessed about how they got there. How do you get from South America to... In time?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got many options. You can go to Heathrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fly from Heathrow. Now, when you land at Heathrow, very quick, 21 minutes
They probably
to Windsor.
Got a Mengele in a van.
21 minutes to Windsor. But did they hire the van separately in England? Do they bring the van with them? That's a logistical
I think they
nightmare.
Got the van from Heathrow, yep.
Yep.
Well, if you land at Heathrow, it's 21 minutes. You take the M25, turn off to the M4 via Datchet, you're there.
So they said, we're on the M25, floor it. And then someone went, I don't know where the floor is.
Yeah. Come on. You bastards. That
come
was
on,
gold.
Come on.
The one thing that kills a Cyberman. Anyway, if they flew from Gatwick, it's not 21 minutes, it's 1 hour, 1 minute.
Jesus.
Gatwick. For the Nazis, you have to take the M23.
What are they listening to? What's in the tape deck there?
Well, Kraftwerk,
not Courtney
obviously.
Pine, is
Kraftwerk.
It?
You take the M23 onto the M25, turn off at Red Hill, connect into the M3 at Leatherhead, turn off at the A308 to Runnymede, and then maybe have a comfort break. It's a long journey. Cobham Services does a very good pasty. Luton Airport, 57 minutes for the Nazis. Yeah. Take the A108-1 south to Brickett Wood. And then use the M1 via Watford, connect to the M4 via West Drayton, and watch out for roadworks on Cowley. Stansted Airport, a nightmare! 1 hour, 48 minutes! Good God, take the M111 south, as well we know, via Epping, and the M25 counterclockwise, of course, to the M1, just outside St Albans, onto the M25, Langley Corner, hard right to the M4. Now, they could have just chartered, of course, a private plane, couldn't they, to avoid all the issues in customs. What is that? It's my alien bow.
Yeah.
What is that? That's my Nazi guard. So they could have done that. So the nearest private private airports would have been Wickham Airport, Farnborough Airport, Denham Aerodrome, or Fair Oaks. Of course, that would have cost a lot of money to do that. They could, of course, travel by helicopter. No questions asked. Nearest helicopter pad, of course, is Englefield Green, a mere 5.2 miles away from Windsor. That's much more costly, of course. You've got Nazi guards, you've got bows. I don't know how that would have gone.
Counterpoint.
Obviously, they could have been short of cash.
Yeah.
They could have caught the coach, of course, from South Africa. Well, that would have lasted 5 days. That's 73 hours from Lima to Peru via Caracas in Venezuela. Catch a ferry to Dakar in Senegal, Africa. Then drive to Tangiers. Then it's a 22-hour ferry over to Gibraltar. Drive to Paris, straight up, 19 hours. Bit of duty-free. Calle de Dover, bish, bash, bosh. Job done. Anyway, no, you don't need to applaud that. That's just me reading out research that I did for my own amusement. Anyway,
I think they flew by parrot. So it's all out.
So what happens is at the end of part one, the Cybermen land and.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Hey.
That's me, Dom.
Right, Tom. We've got half an hour.
Have we?
Half an hour.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I'm going to race through this. The bloody Cybermen arrive. Excellent. And what follows then is a firefight between the Nazis and the Cybermen. You can tell it's a firefight because all their guns are going...
Cuddle guns.
Yeah. It's uninspiring, especially given that the Cybermen arrive and are instantly the most vulnerable creatures in existence.
Yeah.
You say that, the music suggests otherwise.
Yeah. They sound threatening. But
if we were talking about the Cybermen in 1988, we could mention Ratners, which would have been a topical gag, which is a jewellery shop. So if you really don't want Cybermen hurting you, run into Ratners.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have got massive rounds of applause. Yeah.
Can we go back to 1988 and pretend that everybody gets that joke? And Thank you.
Global warming isn't a problem. So there's this firefight and there's lots of explosions and lots of Nazis die, and that's good. And then the Doctor steals the bow.
Yeah.
Makes good his escape.
He does, and he also jumps down a big hole to avoid an explosion.
He does.
We see a bit of bum.
We do see a bit of bum. We see the second big hole.
He likes arse shots.
And they dematerialise. Good dematerialisation. Oh!
Again. What I love about this, I mean, it's rubbish, the three episodes, but it's endless materializations and dematerializations. I'm a very happy boy.
Seven.
It doesn't make sense. There should be eight.
Yeah. Don't like Even it. It's up. Confusing. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So what then happens is, I'm really going to race through this. What then happens is what I like to call Lady Painform Richards' day out.
Yes.
There you go.
It's like one of those videos they share at school about how to operate in the outside world. Yeah. If you meet two skinheads, hang them upside down from a tree.
By the way, right, okay. Never before have I wanted to see a deleted scene more than what happened between Richard, Lady Painful, and the two hoodlums.
Yeah.
To get them, well, first of all, I want to know how they got them, overpowered them, strung them up by their legs.
Yeah.
Secondly, I want to know the thought process that was, let's burn their clothes.
Because Richard doesn't seem like he can handle anything.
No. He looks like he'd be confused.
He panics a lot.
Do you think
he
got one of those kind of like, right, let's fucking burn their clothes.
Yeah.
We've hung them upside down. And she's like, what are we going to do with their clothes? You put them in, he's like, fucking burn them.
Fucking burn. Right, I know I'm crossing sci-fi here, but you know that bit in A New Hope where he returns to the Jawas who've been killed and they're just fucking burning them all.
Yeah, what the hell, guys? Yeah.
What was that conversation?
I mean, I want a bit in that where everyone turns around and goes, what the fuck are you doing? Their souls are coming out.
And he's wearing heart kiss boxer shorts because this is
kiss boxer shorts. He thinks they're social workers.
I don't
understand this joke. Did social workers in 1988 come to your house dressed like they were from the Elizabethan period? We do think you've been treating your son bad.
Sign with my quill to hand over guardianship.
What is wizardry you have on boxing corner?
Basically, I think that social worker was like a buzzword in the 80s.
Yeah.
It'd be like them going now and going, what are you, TikTok influencers? Woke.
Are you woke?
Are you woke? Something. got to pass TikTok the time somehow.
Influence.
Tom is a TikTok influencer,
by
the way.
I am, follow
me. If you've seen Return to Oz, he tells what that little fat orange man what to do.
That's a 2021 reference mixed with a 1989 reference.
I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased with it.
This is the demographic. If you don't laugh, no one's laughing.
Also, Return to Oz was 1985. But
oh, God.
Oh, shit. Wow, I love it when you get heckled by dates.
It happens every time they go to the shop.
So, the Doctor and Ace are investigating the Cyberman shuttle, which is being guarded by the two darts players listening
to their
Walkmans.
Is it a shuttle? Or is it just...
It's a shuttle service.
It looks like a broom.
It's a shuttle service from the fleet, isn't
it? All right.
Yeah, okay, but it's being guarded by two guys who look like they...
They're the two guys who tried to shoot them on Earth.
Yes.
Taken over.
Noel and David Lee Travis.
Uninspiring men, I'll say that much.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Are they supposed to be like... Pre Cybermen,
I guess so. I like pre men.
Apparently, they're zombies. They've got headphones on.
I think the idea is they're supposed to be mid bothered.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone at Big Finish is like writing this down right now. Being like, what's the backstory for this?
Zed and the Cybermen.
The Cybermen invade Bullseye and just steal two members of the audience.
They look like two guys who play darts outdoors and enjoy dogging.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Well, one of them enjoys it. One of them enjoys the other one just there because peer pressure.
I came because you did.
I drive the car. I don't want to get involved.
Because they were at the Courtney Pine gig with headphones on.
They were.
If I was Courtney Pine, I'd be like, excuse me. You take those off. Right.
I just wanted to let you know about the fire protocols. If there is a fire, we're not expecting one. Sorry, take the headphones off.
So anyway, Sylv does some of his bird sounds, because that's
brilliant.
Always fun.
Amazing brilliant. Bird sounds.
They're good bird sounds.
Bilotti comes out and goes, what?
What I like is he does bird sounds, but also he just sort of rumbles.
Wiggles a tree.
He wiggles a tree with an umbrella, and they go, hang on, that bird's got an umbrella. And it's wiggling branches.
That bird is in distress.
Let's go and investigate.
And then Ace... because she's got Nitro 9 on her, blows up something.
He says, don't, you know, you haven't got Nitro 9, have you? Because I told you not to. And she's like, yeah, I have, yeah.
I've always, that's my one so character that. Trait. Yeah.
It's the only character trait I've got.
So she blows it up. And then we see that some of the Nazis, I'm just making sure, because I'm trying to cut a lot of the stuff. They go to Lady Painful's grave. That's weird.
Hang on.
Have we gone to Richard's grave?
Richard was buried with... Oh, no, he's outside, isn't he?
Yeah, because I love this bit, because they're standing for ages talking at this monument. Hmm. And then she goes to Richard, that's your grave.
Yeah.
I'd love it if she said, why not urinate here? And Richard's like, yeah, good, I really need to go. Yeah. And he goes, and she goes, that's your grave, then. What do you think about that?
Stupid prick. Yeah. And obviously there are alpacas in the park. R.I.P. Geronimo.
Yeah, I was going to say, Geronimo. He tries to kill one of them, but he hasn't got COVID. He probably thinks COVID's a Edwardian video shop. None of that makes sense.
No. We're all having...
Edwardian video shop.
Stocksbusters.
Hey, come on, that was off the fucking top of his head.
Oh.
Good God.
Come on. Right, racing through. Nazis team up with Cybermen. Weird speech about Wagner.
Brilliant.
Then we find out, the Nemesis.
Can I say quickly, by the way?
Yeah.
I like to think that when you're a Nazi, you buy a CD that's called Now That's What I Call Nazi. And it is just Wagner.
Yeah.
I'm a Nazi.
And one of them is Wagner.
It's hardly going to be Fiddler on the Roof, is it?
Rex Factor.
And Chico.
Yeah. It's Chico's.
He's very much like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But I'll take the record sales. Yeah,
it's Chico's war crime.
That's why he's a professional writer, right?
Don't cut that! You're worse than us.
We
or
find
better,
out
or something.
The Doctor launched the Nemesis returns.
Yeah, what's this about?
Returns to Earth every 25 years.
I mean, Royal Mail usually leave a note saying, "Do you want it the next day?" But this fucker comes back.
He goes through all the things that have happened. He's like, Hitler annexes Austria, and then all this stuff, and then of course, 1988. 25 years after 1988 is. 2013.
Yeah.
Bad thing that happens in 2013. Margaret Thatcher dies.
Hey! So what we're saying here is that the Doctor loves Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, he really does. He's a closet Tory and we all knew it.
I mean, I suppose if her Nazi and Falco flew direct. Yeah. Just and then the rest maybe, you know, did the coach and the ferry.
Yeah.
That saves money, but then that factors in, like, they have to wait in a hotel for, like, four
and this
or five
is pre-channel
days.
As well, so that'd be quite a nightmare. Tricky, yeah.
They have to, you know, stay in a hotel for... I mean, I suppose they could get a single room and top and tail.
Yeah.
Falco could have the kids menu. I mean, it would save a bit of money. I'm just...
We're still trying to make sense of it. Anyway, the Doctor and Ace are in the woods. The Doctor sees a lizard, just like in Death in Paradise.
But it reminds me of something. He says, "Hang on, Ace, I've just seen a lizard."
Yeah.
Wanna go pub?
Pub now?
Pub.
Like goes, forever?
Oh, yeah, just like that lizard was under a leaf. So too are the cyber fleet under a space leaf.
Yeah. Imagine if he'd have gone, that lizard was under a leaf, and then he goes to the stereo, and then he goes, "Oh, hang on, I was totally wrong on this. I don't know what I was thinking."
I don't know, but then we're into part three.
Part three!
Hey!
Shit!
Right, we've got 22 minutes.
Go! I've got a lot more about the Nazis' travel.
Good.
So quickly.
Just let me know when we get there. So, so the Doctor fiddles with the ghetto blaster.
Mm.
And he goes, treble, bass, balance. And I'm thinking, go to Dolby. And then he exposes thousands of cyber warships.
Yes.
He says the best thing to do is go to the crypt and give them the bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at this point, the Nazis are in the crypt with the Cybermen.
Yep.
And they're having a bit of a catch-22 situation because they've all got things.
Mm-hmm.
But because the Nemesis hasn't got any of them.
Yeah.
They can't do anything because they need a bow and an arrow. Lady Fartpants, what was she called? She's got the arrow.
Yeah.
Doctor's stolen the bow, but the what's he called? Hair Flick?
Hair Nazi.
Hair Nazi.
He doesn't know his bow's missing at this point. He's carrying around the collector's box.
Yeah.
This is not available in the shop. He got it with Tiger tokens. So meanwhile, Richard is taking Lady Fap Penfort up the crypt.
Brilliant. No, that's fine. Don't cheat.
She asks, because all the soldiers start coming in.
Yeah,
he says,
yeah.
Come with me, lady. Leave it here.
They run away.
Why have you risked your life to save me? Because I've been a shit to you for years.
Yeah.
She says, you are a good man.
Oh, yeah. Richard's a good man.
And he also does say, I doth look up your petticoats as we went up the stairs, and I doth have cuckoo spit on my pommel. Just leave you with that, John.
Dear God.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, the way I've got it at the plot at the minute, the farmer can't cross the river with the bow and the Nemesis. Because the Nemesis will eat the bow.
The doctor has a chicken in the fox.
Yeah.
Good, I've got 20 minutes and you're chiming in with... Okay, good. Just so I know, good. So she says, why have you risked your life? And then she says, it's a good man. And he says, we have no more weapons, my lady. Mm. He doesn't talk like that. And she says,
sort of
she has one more that will not fail.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking she's going to say, my mouth. But she says, my knowledge.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
on the chase.
So they're fucked.
Yeah.
So Ace says, they're on the way back to the crypt. And Ace says, Doctor, I have to tell you, I'm really scared.
Yeah.
And he says,
couldn't give a shit.
I don't care, mate.
Yeah.
So he says, you can wait on the TARDIS if you want, if you want to be a big fucking yellow chicken. Or you can come with me. And she says, no chance.
Yeah.
So the Cybermen So the Cybermen and the Nazis listen to some jazz.
They listen to some jazz.
What Doctor Who episode will you be given the opportunity to say that? The Cybermen and the Nazis listen to jazz.
Yep.
Because the Doctor has blocked the signal with jazz.
Yes.
Because he fucking loves jazz.
Johnny hates jazz.
Johnny hates jazz. Doctor loves jazz.
Yeah.
Loves jazz. What? I mean, I want to see Hartnell smoking a big doob listening to jazz. Saying, Courtney Pine.
He's basically, William Hartnell's basically scatting his whole way through every episode, wasn't he?
And that's why he wore a nappy.
Oh, come on. No, don't applaud that.
Don't applaud that.
That wasn't
hell. Applause.
That was William Hartnell.
That was sympathy. Yeah, they listen to what the Nazi doubts the Doctor would. He says, "I doubt very much." That's a bit French. He spent time in France, yeah, just to give him a background.
Yeah.
"I doubt very much the Doctor would walk in here right now holding the bow." What happens?
He bloody does.
He bloody walks in holding the bow.
Yeah.
Nothing much. he does that. He runs around like a tit for a minute with Ace, going, "Am I holding it or am I giving it to Ace? Or is Ace giving it to me?"
And then Cyberman
just goes, "I'll fucking shoot you." But he doesn't. He's like, "Oh."
Yeah, they stand there like they're on the golden shot. Like,
yeah, you want Bob Mangas?
Am I on telly? Yeah. Just snap his arm off. You're Cybermen.
These are Cybermen.
Do your job.
Well, I've had a lovely day.
They just go, oh.
It's like Chuckle Vision at this point.
It is, yeah.
So they piss about with that. And then he hands the bow to the statue.
Oh, yeah.
Then runs off with the bow.
What?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, God.
And then he says, "Don't worry, Ace, it will follow the bow." And then Nemesis wakes up, not the Chessington ride, we should say.
No.
This is not what we're fighting for. Nemesis wakes up.
That never
and
wakes
screams. So Lady Panfort tells Richard not to be scared, even though he is still shitting himself about planes and stuff.
He's seeing everything.
"This tree doth be connected to poles." She's like, that's a phone. "This wingless beast doth ask me." That's another man. And she says it's just Nemesis waking up. So then the Nazis left alone with the last Cyberman, who's clearly
cyber
like...
Cyber leader.
Yeah, he's been promoted well within his means. Because he says, "Mr. Nazi, I love your ice cream vans, but it's time for you to die." And Mr. Nazi has got a packet of gold in his pocket. He's like the Spin Doctors. He's got a pocket full of gold, but not kryptonite.
He sprinkles Disney over the Cyberman.
He throws gold. He basically throws gold in the Cyberman's face. So then the Doctor and Ace go into this room and he starts messing with chess pieces. He's like going, "Ace, what are you talking about? Pawn down." And she's like, "What time is it?" And he's like, "Queen down, I don't know." And she goes, "What's going on?" And he goes, "Bishop down, I don't know." And I think we're trying to say there's some sort of game going on here.
Oh, maybe. What are you doing, Doctor? He's like, "Oh, I'm going to fuck you up by introducing you to your mum you hate later on. Don't worry about it."
So then, while that's going, Richard sees a hitchhiker.
Right.
Yeah, go on.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Because we're all doing research today. The hitchhiker gets into a blue Vauxhall. it's Reg is B210AMP. And just a little fact about that, it has been untaxed since April 1995.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Good. Finally.
It's like being on Crime Watch. So Richard sees this happen. Hang on, where am I? Yeah. And he says, "I will fetch a carriage for you."
That man had a small finger protrude from his bald finger. It's like, it's a thumbs up. That is, you can do that, Richard.
He sucks off a lorry driver.
You know when we normally do this, like, at home? Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't urinate now, I'm going to die. So can I do that where you continue?
You carry on. You
Thank
go.
You.
Okay.
You
go, Seamless.
This is most unprofessional.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Thomas, me and you from now on.
Hi there, okay.
Okay, good.
I've got a car.
Just follow your nose. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Littrell's going for a piss.
Yay! We will see many wonders in the days to come.
Good, good. Professionals like us hold it in.
Yeah, yeah. I am bursting. The juice of apple.
The juice of apple is holding in. So they then they get picked up by Joan Rivers. Who is a successful Hollywood actress?
Yeah.
What the fuck is she doing in this episode?
What is happening? Well, at least her character goes somewhere and has an arc.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Yeah. Mm. And so they get a lift with her. So the doctor meets Nemesis and gives the bow.
Yeah.
She says she is beautiful, but she says, I have other forms that would horrify you.
Savile again.
I think that's a fix with...
A fix with some torrents.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Remington, the American, she hears all about her family tree from Lady Pantfart. She goes, yeah, I met your great-great-grandmother. She was poisoned. I did it.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, this is fascinating.
I don't understand anything.
So then, Ace has a shootout with coins. She grabbed coins. She grabbed a bag
Sonic
of coins.
Now, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She grabbed a bag of coins from house. She's got a Dennis the Menace. What are they called?
Catapult.
Catapult.
Oh, yeah.
No, Nash is the dog.
Right.
She doesn't fire a dog at anyone, Tom. She's told by the doctor that the Cybermen hate gold.
Yes.
Yeah.
She uses that knowledge to her advantage by being more deadly with a catapult than the Cybermen are with whatever it is they're wielding.
What the fuck are they? They carry around fucking thermos flasks. Yeah. So she takes out a few Cybermen.
Yep.
And where are we? Yeah, so some Cybermen end up killing each other trying to kill Ace.
That's smart. The old... are we allowed to call it a Mexican shootout anymore?
Yeah. Who's offended by that?
Guns.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we'll call that a non-North American shootout.
Yeah, yeah. That'll work.
Okay. So the Nemesis, the Doctor is programming to send the Nemesis to the Cyberfleet.
Yeah.
Because what we haven't mentioned, which is quite important, is that there's a Cyberfleet. You mentioned it with the lizard. There's a Cyberfleet waiting in space.
Yeah.
There's thousands of ships waiting in space.
Look what it is. It's Mr. Paul Litchfield.
Paul Litchfield's back from having a piss.
It was too fast for him to wash his hands properly. We all know it.
I feel 3 ounces lighter.
Disgusting. There's loads of ships floating in space.
Yeah.
Oh, I love ships floating
and
in space.
And then Sil pulls up his trousers and all the Cybermen applaud. It was,
okay.
This is golden shot.
Look, here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to labour it, but if the nut... If her nuts... If
we've
her
got
Nazi,
10 minutes.
All right, if her Nazi met Max Schreck... Ah, now you're interested.
Batman Returns.
Like, a few years ago from his Views to a Kills. He could have hired maybe a Zeppelin. Now, look, the reason
to get
Max a Zeppelin...
You mean Max
Zorin? No, but... the reason to get the Zeppelin is that no questions asked. There's no customs. There's no port authority.
We had prizes for tonight.
We got prizes. But he could fly the Zeppelin straight across, couldn't he?
Let's just say yes.
And then all the Cybermen
die. Well, you
know,
you could take your alien tech, the luggage, the Nazis. You could cross international datelines, John.
We had signed things.
You could have won prizes.
From port authorities or anything, you know? Yeah. I'm just saying. Problem is, Zeppelins can only travel at 73 miles an hour, John. But they could go for 24 hours, which means you'd have to refuel twice. Possibly in Dakar, Sierra Leone.
I might just give these out randomly.
What happens next? We're all in that
I'm
hangar.
I'm just saying.
We're all in the hangar. The best set ever for Doctor Who.
All I'm saying is you're losing half a page.
Right, so Ace has killed loads of Cybermen.
Yay!
Yeah!
The Nemesis asks if she is to destroy the fleet and if she will be needed again. She's like, Doctor, you know that thing you used to make me do? Do you need that again? He's like, no. And you destroy the cyber fleet.
Yeah.
And so the Nazis turn up and briefly take the bow before being shot by the last Cyberman, because all the Cybermen are dead now.
Yeah.
Who wants the bow. So Lady Pantfart arrives with Richard to get her Nemesis.
Yeah.
She knows who the Doctor is.
What?
Why?
She knows his secrets. He has a big book of anuses.
Oh, I see.
And he hands the bow to Cyberleader and says the Cybermen should have the bow. And then he says to Lady Pamphart, thank you for coming to the 20th century. Mm. Thank you for bringing the bow. You may go now. And as it's about to launch, Lady Pamphart goes, oh, freak out.
Mm.
She jumps in with Nemesis and they start having like sort of lesbian stuff. They snuggle and cuddle.
22:51, everyone. This.
I'm sorry, I say as I see. And then it takes off.
I don't have lesbian stuff in my head. If it would, it would take up a whole age.
They kiss.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it. Where are you? Where are you now? This is the London Podcast Festival. The ship takes off like a turd out of an aqueduct. And destroys the entire fleet.
Why I order.
So the cyber leader is about to kill the doctor. And he's like, I'm going to kill you now, doctor. Hang on. I'm going to kill you now.
Yep.
And Richard goes, oh. And he grabs an arrow. Whoa. That landed in the TARDIS that had poison and it gold on it.
Yeah.
Stabs the Cyberman with it. It dies.
Yeah.
So then Rich is like, what am I going to do now? He doesn't talk like that.
When I went for a wee, did I miss the bit when they were in the limousine?
Yeah.
Oh. It's go on. I doth interfere with the back end of your metal ore, so now my catkins have been burnt off. I just wanted you to hear that, John.
Good, nice. Thank you. I'm pleased I did.
Nice.
So then they say to Richard, we can give you a lift back home. And he's like, oh, lovely. So then they go home. And then, so 1638. And then Richard comes out and says, I don't have jazz that you speak of, but music doth flow from my bottom brown mouth. And then they play music. And then Ace says, Doctor, I need to know something about you. And he's like, what? She goes, who are you? And he looks down the camera and goes, who am I indeed? Mm. And the next episode's Greatest Show in the Galaxy. And that's the end of Silver Nemesis. Now, what we'll do now is we'll score it very quickly because we've got 7 minutes left.
Okay.
So we're going to do it in the order of who read out the episode. So, Paul, what are we going to score it out of?
Oh, yeah. Any suggestions from anyone in the audience?
Yeah. 100 out of what?
Brown mouth.
Brown what?
Brown bottom mouth.
Brown bottom mouth.
What was the other one?
Maybe it has to be social.
I like the idea of 100 social workers.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Right,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go for it, Paul.
Okay, I don't like McCoy's era much. it's not his fault. He's great. But the writing's shite. But when I look at most of McCoy's stuff, apart from maybe Curse of Fenric, it's like watching fucking Pinter this. So I'm going to give it 20. 20.
20, okay. 20.
Well, it's got like 7 TARDIS materializations, right. And there's something else I quite like. It might have just been what I wrote about it that I like.
Yeah.
20.
20, okay. So, Tom?
No, I'm going to be more generous. I'm going to say the Nemesis returns to Earth every 25 years. It would have returned to Earth almost 3 times since then. I'm going to give it 75 because this has been an absolute joy. It was.
Hang on, are you giving it 75?
Yeah, yeah.
What? No.
Are you all right?
75?
75 social workers for this zippy, pacey,
zippy
joy
was,
of a story.
Oh, I liked it when they went through the time.
So you're giving me 75, that's your
75,
final answer?
75, yes.
Okay. I'm going to say that out of the Sylvesters we've watched in this neighbourhood, this was my favourite. But I'm going to go 30. I'm not going to go I'm not mentally ill, like question mark jumper man. Yeah.
125 social workers.
Jesus.
For Silver Nemesis.
Right, at this point, we should ask for correspondence. I'm going to do that in the style of Blood Axe.
Yeah.
But we're giving prizes tonight. We've got prizes. So this is the if you come up with good correspondence, the third prize is Silver Nemesis, signed by Ed Hall.
Which you've all definitely
the
seen.
The last prize is the very thing you've
second prize.
About.
Second prize, John Pertwee's Big Book of Monsters.
Oh, come on.
But this is amazing.
And first
prize is an original drawing of Davros by me.
By Mr. Tom Neenan.
So,
signed by all of us.
Hands up if you've got any correspondence.
No one wants a prize. You could literally say Silver Nemesis was an episode and get a prize at this point.
Why are we supposed to have like a boom mic or something?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
No, no, they've got an overhead mic. It's fine.
I was just wondering, what chance, 0 to 100%, do you think that the Fourth Reich would have used Uzis, which of course were developed by the Israelis?
I would agree. I thought of that at the time. I thought, Nazis don't go trucking with Uzis.
No. But they wanted them because they made that lovely... sounds that really sounds threatening.
Maybe it came through with a blue van.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, they collected enough SO tokens.
Yeah. Anyone else got any correspondence?
Anyone else? Come on, question, please. Yes, sir.
Do you think at any point during the making, anyone stopped and said, "Hang on, didn't we make a better version of this a couple of months ago?"
Well, Remembrance of the Daleks, which they literally go, "Oh, like we did in Remembrance of the Daleks." Yeah.
Right. But I always think they do that on the live news. Every day they go, hang on, didn't we do a better version of the news yesterday?
The thing is, news has been struggling since 9/11. Nothing's topped it.
News is boring.
Pre-9/11, isn't it? Pre-9/11.
One more question to get a prize.
Any more questions, please? Because you'll get, I mean, genuine
prizes. You
would genuinely
prizes. Get a prize.
Just something. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Back.
Hello. Me and my friend Anthony watched the episodes earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
What scene was deleted in which they escaped from that in order to materialise to run straight over to the Nazis?
What happened was that they were both cast in El Dorado and they had to do 2 years on that.
They both had to work in the BBC canteen.
Has anyone seen the extended edition, by the way, where that scene is included? Has anyone seen that?
What?
Where, oh, what?
The doctor puts on some glasses
and
says, "You will let us go. You are going to let us free." And then Ace says, "What did you do?" And then the doctor, having put on his glasses and hypnotised them, literally says, "You have to make a spectacle of yourself, like fucking Tim Vine."
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah!
Michael Gray saw that and was like, no.
No, we're going to give it one more series and then it's dead.
No.
Oh, well... That was our correspondence for Silver Nemesis.
Is that it? No one else
wants to...
No, but
yeah,
that...
sure. Pen
yeah, go on, go on.
Well, this is a live show. Who are your rankings for the Doctors?
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. Bottom is Shipman.
Crippin.
No, I'd go Crippin.
Crippin.
Yeah. Mind you, Shipman has got the biggest tally, hasn't he?
So on one sort of metric, he's the best.
He was the most cunning. If you were doing top trumps, he would be the best.
He would.
Dr. Bashir, fuck off.
I mean, Pepper's got to be top.
Dr. Pepper and in the middle, in distress. Those are my, those are my favourite doctors.
I wanted us to come on tonight to Doctor in Distress, but we couldn't
Baker,
figure it.
Isn't it? Yeah. Tom Baker.
Although, I would say, Colin Baker took at least 8 minutes out of his day to record us a little message, so at the minute, I think
I like
he's
to think he
me.
Had his knob out.
What do you think I edited out? This is it's a kids' show.
But it was dipped in tzatziki. That took a long time for me to say.
Dipped in.
You try to say to Zeke
like
after 900 of those cans.
I like to think he laid it on the window sill.
Oh!
And on that, ladies and
nothing
gentlemen.
Nothing better than that.
50 episodes. This has been a Wheezing Groaning Sound. Follow us at Wheezing Pod. Thank you so much for being such a lovely audience tonight. Yeah. Come up if you ask a question and we'll tear up the things and hand them out to anyone who wants them.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
So three of you can come and collect a prize.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What a great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is
called... It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
Great big.